Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June. How are you?
You know, I got off to a rough start this morning.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I walked down to the kitchen. As soon as I got down the stairs, I saw that the runner, beautiful runner, on my kitchen floor was askew.
Yeah.
And I knew something was wrong. I did, and sure enough.
This is like a cold case file.
Okay. I knew, like, a crime had been committed.
Yep.
And that sinking feeling.
Meatball. Can't be Meatball.
It was Meatball. And he pissed.
Oh.
On the
runner.
He's
getting older.
And just, like, it's not the first time it's happened. Now, I there's a wonderful podcast called The Animal That Changed Me. Which my friend Katya Litsky hosts, and I did an episode of her podcast and talked about and the whole podcast is such a beautiful conceit.
I can't believe you didn't tell me about it until now. I'm going to listen to it immediately.
Please do, and you'd be a wonderful guest, and I would love you to talk to Katya, and she's helped me so much with Meatball. So she was really pushing getting him a crate because of this problem where he was sleeping on the couch for a while, and then he would like walk into the kitchen and pee every night.
Sure.
Now, I did the runner was brought in after the crate. So he long story short, Paul did take him out last night before he went to bed. And in between Meatball out, you're going to hear him in the background.
I hear him now.
Yeah. After he took him out, and then before Paul went up to go to sleep, or Paul was like fiddling around downstairs, or nobody was here. I don't think it's that he can't hold it.
It's an anxious thing.
I think he's anxious. And he peed. And I just have a really hard time waking up to dog piss.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I wake up to it every morning now. I wake up to it every morning.
You do.
Now, I'm wondering, though, would Meatball get on board for peeing on a pee pad? Because I started putting those out, and now schnauzers, they're German. They're very fastidious. They do not like to do that inside. She doesn't have a choice now. She's so aged.
I mean, I respect that.
Yes. I said that to Dr. Grant Petrie about her German nature, and he said he couldn't, quote, go there. And I don't know this World War II thing or what.
Oh, I see.
But,
okay.
But it's not cool to, you know, make those type of generalizations over here. Whereas in America, we're cool with
that. Yeah. You brought up some trauma for him.
Yeah. But anyway, I started putting out these super absorbent pee pads, and she knows now to just go
that's
there
where
at
she
night.
Goes.
And that's fine. If I have to pick it up and throw it in the garbage in the morning, but when it's on the floor on a rug.
Oh, Jessica, it's on the rug.
It's really hard.
It was a hard way to wait to pop my eyes open and have that be the first thing I saw. And listen, he goes in his crate at night and he's great. Loves
yes.
the crate.
Yeah.
So this hasn't happened in months since before the crate, you know, but we were also way over Labor Day. Like, I think there were a few factors, you know, I've been working really long hours. I think there were a few factors, but that's how I started my day, you know, and that's hard. That was hard. And then you know, it's just irritable.
I understand. Can I introduce you to a product?
Nature's Miracles?
No, it's called Folex.
Writing it
this
down.
Shit has been around for 100 years. It's in a white bottle, and I ordered it online, but I can only find it at like a random Vons, like on the PCH. Like it is a miracle. It's a miracle worker.
And what does it do?
You spray it on. You wait for a cup. It says agitate it. You know, you kind of like go like this with your fingers, and then you wait for about 5 minutes, and then you just put paper towels and you step on it, and it just lifts the stain up. So there is no, and I'm talking like, it's so good. I always have a couple bottles on hand.
Folex. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. Even an older stain it'll work on. But yeah, Folex. You can get it at Home Depot.
Cody's saying Cody get just it at said, Home Depot.
No one will ever help you, but it doesn't matter. Just to put your hands on some merchandise.
You'll never find one of those people in the orange aprons because they're never around.
No, because let me be honest with you. If I worked at Home Depot and I could disappear, you know that I would.
God, well, you could so easily.
Like, I would hide in my car. I would hide in my car.
Behind a piece of sheetrock. Like, walk into one of the fake, like, garden doors and just stay there. Like, there's so many places to hide.
So, like, I tip my hat to those people because they're very crafty.
Oh, my God. So, I worked, Jessica, at the Rockville Center Public Library as I was a page where my job was to just...
Jack of all trades.
Oh, my God. My job was to just restock books. Yeah. And I only had like a 3.5 hour shift, but sure. I was solitary alone. And when I tell you, it was like mind numbing. Like I had to go to a place in my head of like, go do this. Like you have to go do this. Like just go and start reshelving and restocking. And I would find myself just hiding from the librarians.
Yeah. Well, have you ever taken a nap on the toilet?
No.
Have you ever gone into a bathroom and put your head down on your lap and slept? That's what I used to do at my first job as an assistant account executive at the advertising agency J. Walter Thompson. I would sleep on my lap. So that's what it's like. I could train myself to sleep there, and then everyone would think I was down, you know, getting some sort of materials for somebody or working up a pitch.
Well, you know, Paul basically worked at a company for, I think, almost a year and got a very handsome severance package. And
of course he did, because he's
never
Paul.
Had a role, never had a job. Nobody, no, Jessica. I mean, they did a one-person show about it, of course. But he didn't have a desk. And he was just sort of floating around. Nobody knew what he was doing there.
That's wild. That was before September 11th. That was the time, the like glorious time before everything fell apart.
Yep. I think it was also like the one job he was given was to like take Britney Spears out to lunch and buy her a sandwich. I don't know what this establishment was, but like that was the one role. And then nobody ever asked him a question after that. Finally, someone like caught wind of it and was like, what services do you provide here? Like what department? What's your scope of work? You know, and he didn't have an answer. And he was like, basically, I must be on my way. And then he got a severance package. Then he was paid to not work for like another 6 months.
Paul. I want to talk to Paul, and I know you really want to get into sports. So I want to make sure we get to it.
I know you do. You know what? Well, okay. So here's the interesting experience I'm having with sports.
Yeah.
So I played sports as a child, and it was a very big part of my life.
Yes, as it was mine.
As it was yours, yeah. And I was curious about your experience with it, Jess. But the reason why I wanted to talk about it was actually because I loved it so much as a kid, but there were times and areas where, like, I was a really good basketball player and I was a good soccer player, but the dynamics of the soccer team I was on were really intense.
Listen to me. East Coast soccer players are a rough bunch.
Oh my God.
They're the most popular. And they will slice you. They will slice and dice you. We weren't made. It's worse than Hollywood. I really believe that. I wasn't able to even get on the team or even get near that. My parents were like, I grew up in South Philly. We're not doing a traveling soccer team. Who has the time?
We did. And I was on a traveling soccer team. And I had a healthy amount of friends in my elementary school. But then when I started playing soccer with these other girls and I got on the travel team, they were all in different elementary schools, and specifically one that was like in the wealthy part of town. And I was so intimidated by them.
You should have been.
And I was so big. You know, I mean, I was a grown woman in fourth grade. Yeah. A grown-ass woman. Okay? And I was constantly being told by the coaches to use my body.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like an Abby Wambach style. Abby Wambach just like slam into somebody. Yes. Which, by the way, I want to circle back to Glennon Doyle and Abby Wambach and the book Untamed.
That's a love we've never known. Yeah.
Because I just started listening to that book.
Okay. I'm obsessed with them. So I was told to use my body and I did not know really. I actually didn't know what that meant. And I was... All I wanted was to be small. And then I was in this position where I was being told by the coaches, like, basically be a linebacker out there.
Yeah.
Like, you're on the team because you're big.
Right.
So be big.
You don't have, like, the technicals necessarily.
No,
to
which
get
I didn't.
To the, yeah.
Right. But, like, be big and, like, hurt somebody out there.
Yeah. Right.
And then I was surrounded by these, like, petite, blonde, long, swinging ponytails.
Always the long hair. The Turtelot sisters.
Yeah.
Stacy and Amy Turtelot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Lexi, their little sister.
God. And they were good. And they were aggressive.
Yeah. And hot. And they're hot.
And they were aggressive. So I have this memory. It's one of my earliest memories. And it's trauma, of course, where a girl on my team, I'd like to say her name, Tracy, turned to me on practice one day and said, I don't know why, but I feel like being really mean to you today.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I feel so sick. I feel sick right now.
Oh, God.
And it took me breath
what
away.
What the fuck is going on?
Why did she want to hurt you?
I don't know. I brought up something for her. Which was like, I think because I was uncomfortable, I was big, I was like, I don't know.
Oh,
and I was so intimidated, and it was one of those moments where you're just like, blink, 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 like, please don't start crying. And I continued to play and pass the ball back to her, but I was so terrified of this person. And then every weekend I had to go away with them.
Oh my God.
And I would like go away with my dad, and this is where I'm going to like, bring it all back around.
Yeah.
So go away with my dad every weekend and we'll go to hotel rooms in like New Jersey and, you know, out on Long Island, Connecticut.
Cannot believe he had the time for this with two other daughters.
Okay, but this was his pride and joy.
Yeah, as was my dad's.
So we would go to these hotels and I would be in there in like a, you know, two beds with my father. And I would hear all the girls running down the hallways. Let's go watch a movie in this one's room. Let's go, like, we're ordering pizza in here. And I would sit there with my dad because I wasn't in the group, you know, and I wasn't a starter.
Oh, yeah.
But then I got into basketball and I ended up being really good at basketball. Yeah. And I was the center and I was a high scorer. I was the MVP.
It's a very big shame that those outfits aren't better looking.
Well, I know.
I'd love to like get Christian Soriano in there and see what he could do. Just,
you know what? You're totally right. Because with soccer, it feels like, oh, these are outfits. These uniforms are made for women. With basketball, it's like, oh, we took the boys' jerseys and we're just going to throw them out.
Yeah, Serena Williams wouldn't put that shit on.
No,
she's
looking, you're absolutely right.
You know, fresh as shit on that court. You know, Anna Kournikova is not showing up in a fucking tank top that shows like the weird part of your armpit.
For sure.
Tailor it.
Long story short, I'm talking about this because, well, first of all, I told Gus about that story with Tracy. And it has been sort of like, we have to come back to it over and over and over again. Like, did she say? Like, why did she say that? Well, was she mean? Yes. Why was she mean to you? I don't know.
Right.
Because I really don't, because she wanted to be.
Yeah.
And then I've also tried to say to him, like, let's actually, and sometimes he's like, do you think people like me? I'm like, I think everyone loves you, Gus. And he goes, no, there's a few people who don't. Donald Trump, my friends, and probably Tracy.
I'm like, oh my God.
She doesn't know you. And then I'm like, he's made her such sometimes he makes these people such bad characters that I'm like, well, let's actually think about why she might have said that to me. Like, what was going on for her?
Yeah, what was going on?
Because I grew up in a loving family and I had a lot of love in my life. Like, maybe she didn't. Maybe that upset her. You know, I let's see if we can't open our hearts and minds to Tracy in that moment.
That's, wow. That's a great way to look at it, that lesson. I can't tell you that I would have gone that direction.
Well, here's what's so interesting. Like, I am now having the most profound experience with Gus and his love of basketball. And he started, you know, going to these special practices, and he was in basketball camp the whole summer and loves it and is good.
That's great.
You know, and I'm having this experience of learning about my dad through being with Gus, because I'm like, God damn it. And I talked to Casey about it this past weekend, and she connected so many dots for me that I hadn't even seen. But, you know, I never knew what it was like, or never considered what it was like, for my dad to sit there and watch me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had never, like, to have to sit there, and especially in soccer, and see me struggle socially, sometimes not want to go. You know, he saw that. And then to also then see me succeed and be the star of a team. And I look back at it and I'm like, God damn it, if he didn't stay so even during both of those experiences.
Like, didn't show you that he was on that ride, because you know he's on that ride. They are. They're walking outside of your body, but they belong inside, like a Joey, like a marsupial.
Yeah, it's so intense to see, like, I have a competitive streak. Gus does too. He wants to be challenged in the same way that, like, I did as a kid. That's why I loved sports. Yeah. Like, I want to be challenged. I want to win. You know, but also learning, like, sometimes people are better than you.
That's, yes.
What do we do with that? Sometimes you lose.
What do we do with that?
What do we do in that moment?
It's a great playing field to work out all sorts of complicated and very simple emotions.
Oh, my God.
Defeat.
Exactly.
You know, expectation, excitement, you know, all of it. Teamwork.
And I'm just having this really amazing experience where, and I've asked my dad for help, like, because I can feel myself getting wrapped up.
Yes.
In, like, what I'm seeing. And because I'm like, I didn't know you could, I don't know. It's one of the few times where I felt like with my parents, like, oh, wow, I'm actually continuing a conversation.
That's what I was just thinking. I was thinking, this is wild in that they are gone and yet the conversation continues. Because I was just feeling your father there with you in these games, and he's loving it.
I know.
And he's also guiding you and being an inspiration to you. And you know, it's not that common to see a basketball mom. You know, I find that with BB, like when I go to softball games or whatever, like, you know, I like to show people what I got. You know, I can put a little sauce on that ball. You know,
sure, I can too. Sweetie, I also play softball. Come on now.
The other moms are just like, wow. Or like, I'm just like, you know, with the dads. And I think it's an enormous thing to have your mom there. Like, and your dad gave you that gift.
He really did. And I didn't know that I was, I guess it's interesting to, like, learn about someone or to see a layer of them that, like, to me growing up, it was just like, oh, yeah, my dad took me everywhere. My dad woke up, my dad.
Up at 5:30 in the morning.
For, like, yeah, and embarrassed me, too. Like, I remember with my soccer team, my dad made, he was always making these strange things, and he made this wooden, out of a piece of wood, he put nails, like tons of nails sticking out in the shape of a foot.
Yeah.
And this invention was made so that all of us gals, when we came off the field, could clean our cleats on it.
It's a great idea.
I mean, it's kind of actually
a great idea.
But, like, I also had the dad who was, like, announcing that he had made this thing, and you know, people, I think people were like, that's strange, you know, and,
right.
and homemade.
Right.
And
it wasn't
odd.
Like, yeah, he wasn't like, well, you know, in softball, I got so anxious. I was so good. And then, as you know, I got moved to left field. Right field, actually. And that was not when I shit myself. I thought I shit myself. It was my period. But in high school, I got too anxious. And my dad, so I said to my dad, you cannot come to my games, because if you come, I'm not, and you're there, I won't be able to hit or something. I mean, come on. Why didn't anyone bring me to a therapist or whatever? I just, these are the signs. You know what I mean? If your daughter starts at shortstop and ends in right field, like, bring her to a therapist. She needs help. She needs cognitive behavioral therapy. But we were playing a game, and Christy Kovac, who was the most popular girl and ended up marrying the most popular guy, Eric Kazakian, in school, who I loved very much, and he never returned my affections. But but one time in seventh grade, I thought he liked me. So I was at a sleepover with this girl, Ashley Rodman, and she was on her way to popular, and I was trying to catch her coattails, and it was
right.
I was just trying to get some backdraft.
Sure.
So she knew I loved this guy, Eric, so much. So she's like, I know he's sleeping over at this kid, Chris Murfin's house. He's like, let's call them. And she got Chris Murfin on the phone, and she's like, does Eric like Jessica? And he said, I do. And I remember, I was like, everything's coming together for me. Like, if this happens, I felt like Biden on election night. Like,
yeah,
this is
we did it.
It's everything I've worked for. You know, I worked
it,
so hard.
Yeah.
I'd gotten rid of, like, actual best friends. I'd thrown them aside because they were dead weight. You know, all of this was leading up to this.
Yeah.
And he's a soccer star. And that weekend, I was like, well, enjoy, you know, your time in anonymity, because on Monday, everything's going to change for you, you know? And on Monday, I came in and he wouldn't meet my gaze, and I didn't know what was going on. And I waited until, like, you know, seventh period, and I wrote him a note that said, hey, like, what's up?
What's up, Doc? Yeah.
Now, here's another tip. If the boy you like is avoiding your gaze, don't follow it up with a note. It's like when you call your agent, you're like, hey, have you heard anything? Like, oh, no, we have your phone number.
Yeah. The feedback on that audition is
that you
didn't get it. Okay.
Okay.
If they were interested, there are multiple platforms to reach you.
So many platforms. Yeah. You just check it in, you know? He wrote back, oh, I started dating Christy Kovac over the weekend. And she was the most popular girl at the other middle school. So the most popular boy from our middle school gets together with the most popular girl from.
Wow.
And I, to this day, don't know.
What happened?
I like to tell myself that he liked me, but for societal reasons, he couldn't compromise himself.
Right.
Like, very much like that's why these Jane Austen stories really hit home for me, because I was like, I was not of that stature, of that class. And a boy like him can only get with the queen of the other place. And they ended up getting married. They did. Now, unfortunately, a couple years after graduation, I went to the Jolly Trolley, which is this bar that everyone would gather at, you know, like, when we'd come back and from school or whatever. And I had a few Long Island iced teas. And I saw him and I said, I need to ask you a pregunta. And she was there. And I said, did you really like me that day?
He said, one day.
I have no memory of that.
Oh, Jess.
To which,
Jess,
my best friend said, do you have your answer now? Can we let this go? And I said, I think he was just saying that because she was there. And she was like, here we go again. And the only other detail about that story was that leading up to that sleepover, he had said to me jokingly, like in social studies, what are you getting me for Christmas? And so I went down to a Woolworths and I bought a chia pet. That was going to be like a joke, like some joke.
I don't know if a guy like that is doing those kinds of bits, Jess.
Well, he's not. The other thing he's not doing is buying you a Christmas present. So I gave him a chia pet and he looked like, oh my God, why are we giving each other presents? Gifts.
Yeah, we don't have it like that.
The next day, he arrived with a damaged Bloomingdale's box. And one of those, do you remember those like woven, they were woven belts. They were multicolored woven yes. belts you'd maybe get from in Mexico. It was his sister's dirty one of those he found like on the floor of her room and put it in an old Bloomingdale's box.
So he did give you a gift?
Only after I gave him that chia pet, but he didn't buy it. And that I still went for it.
Unfortunately, I have to propose another theory, which is I think there's a world in which you were used as a decoy.
Please elaborate.
Like,
please elaborate.
I think that because he told her that he liked you.
No, he told Chris Murfin, who told Ashley Rodman, who told me.
No,
Christy Kovac was busy living her best life on the south side of town, waiting for her prince to come. And he eventually did. We'll never know. I guess that's the point.
I guess we'll never know. I thought he told her that because I do think that sometimes what happens is like the feelings are too. I mean, and I how could he not like you, Jessica? I don't mean to take this away from you. I'm sure he did.
I wish I could put a picture of myself on screen.
Is there any world in which he was like, yeah, I like her. Like, she's a fun girl. The type of girl who would get me a chia pet. Like, I like that, you know?
I don't think so.
It was
I don't think he felt either of those things. And I think I was blinded. And I guess to go back to your dad, it's like Gus and BB, I've got bad news for you and me. They ate Christy Kovac. Okay? Yeah. They aren't. They are going to be given someone a chia pet and we're going to have to sit there and watch it happen. And our hearts, you know, will break for them. But
So he just got elevated to this new team, this sort of new practice that you have to like, you get like called up for it, right?
Wow.
Big deal. And, but again, I'm like trying, what I'm calling on with my dad is excitement, you know, an encouragement yes. to meet the moment, right?
Yep.
But also like, it ain't everything, you know?
No.
This ain't everything. Win, lose, fail, like this is exciting, but we will approach each experience as it is, you know? And I sat there and watched him, and when they were scrimmaging, like I definitely like he was standing up as a waiting to go in, you know. Yeah. But then the two kids who were next to him like went to go sit down, and his team was scrimmaging, and I felt myself like Gus.
Yeah,
I go, yeah, you stand yeah. up, you stand up, and show that coach you are ready to go in.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah, been there.
And I felt myself mm-hmm. like. Also, I would say that to him, and I feel comfortable saying that to him because he wants to go in. He wanted to stand up.
That's right. You weren't pushing something. He's like, I don't want to be here. No, you needed yeah. to show him it's okay get to up. Stand up.
It's great to stand up. Get up, show yes. that coach you are ready to go in and cheer for your team on your feet.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yes. You cheer for the other kids on your yes. feet, and you are ready.
Yeah.
But what I'm also feeling in that moment is my own drive, my own ambition, my own sense of competition, my own like competitive edge, which I have. I mean, let's not forget, I am a Capricorn.
Yes.
You
yes.
know?
Yeah.
And I love that. I love it. I love that experience. That's why I loved sports so much. And you know, but I also know in me, like, but pull back a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
don't go too
yes.
far. So it's a dance, right?
And it is a dance.
And then I think of my dad who, I mean, I was a really good basketball player. Whether I you know, had it or didn't, like, I think had I really put my mind to it, maybe could have done something with it. I think I could have gotten a scholarship. I'll say that much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but once I hit ninth grade, I dropped it so abruptly.
So did I. I broke my dad's heart.
It broke my dad's heart too. But he never said a word about it.
Nope, neither did mine. I dropped it for the high school musical in which I got put in the way, way, way back.
Me too, Jessica. We don't sing.
My father was like, you dropped it for this, but he never said a word.
My dad never said a word until, as you know, on my wedding day when he recited in his speech just my stats.
This is why I knew we were the same person. This is why I almost leapt to my feet because we had the same. My father has bored so many people with my stats. He still knows them. MVP, you know, MVP, CYO, basketball. Like, I don't even know my stats. And my mother's like, enough with this, enough with this. The story I wanted to say was when we were, so when I was at the softball game, Christy Kovac goes, oh my God, there's like a creep. There's like one of those creeps in a trench coat, like looking at us. And like we looked over and it was my dad in his trench coat from work. He was hiding behind a tree so that I wouldn't see that he was watching the game.
I can't. Jessica, I can't. That's so sweet. Like I picture him like Carmen San Diego.
That's what he had. And he had these flipped up sunglasses. Remember that Dwayne Wayne had and it's of a different course. World? So the 80s, so he had those and they were flipped, you know, down and he flipped them up to see the play. And I was like, that's my dad. And that's the most beautiful thing, right? Dads are, I know there's some tears there because dads are the best. And your dad was the best, is the best.
It's just...
I wish he was still here to seek us. I do. I mean, I think he is there.
I do, too. But I really am having such a full circle experience with him. It's so wild. And yeah, it is a beautiful, even, parental, like, fatherly, masculine energy that I'm... calling on, which is like it's really something. And yeah, I'm learning from him that sense of like how to be there and also not attach too closely.
And that I believe is the lesson for good parenting. Like in general, I'm talking not just the sports field, like how to be there but not attach and know that you can prepare the child but not the road, you know? And that's the hardest thing.
And walking in like the joy and excitement and success, also breathing in like the success that they're having and also evenly approaching their failures.
Right. Because if you attach too much to those, they take the cue and say, oh God, I should feel really bad about myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the whole thing is like, you're not going to get the job. You're not going to get the part. You're not going to get the house you want. You're not going to get whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you don't still get to be amazing.
I had the funniest experience too because he said... you know, this little group that he practices with, he went to a Saturday morning clinic and I love cheering on the kids. I just love it.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's so much fun and it's such an opportunity to make every child feel good.
Yeah. Well, now I'm remembering screaming, I chanted USA when BB did get a goal against the Brits. And then my... BB just looked at me like, what the fuck are you doing? It's not the time for chanting USA, you know?
Well, it's not the time for chanting USA, by the way, but nobody wants us
anywhere near them.
But so as the kids were, you know, they shouted out, they huddled after they were done and said, and as they were coming up, I'm holding the water bottle and I said, you know, I go, as I come back from the court, I said, great job.
Oh,
you know, and then as we're going to the practice the other night, Gus says to me, he goes, Mama, please don't say great job.
Why?
And he goes, you embarrass the pants off of me. Jesse, I was laughing so hard. And I go, okay. And he's like, and actually, can you just clap?
Okay.
Oh my God. But I want to tell the kids great job. And he goes, please just let their own parents tell them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And you had to take that note. You had to take the note.
Well, it was so funny. I said, I'm going to try. I said, because I also had the experience of being embarrassed on my parent as a young child. So I'm not trying to embarrass you. But a part of team sports is cheering for every single kid that's out there.
I like that lesson.
You're on a team.
Yep.
But it was funny because I was like, OMG. Like, it's the first time he's registered, like, what you are is embarrassing to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Yep. Oh, God. You never thought that you would be
possible.
Never.
You know?
Nope, it is.
Boy, is it ever.
Only the beginning.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing, like, he's just tenacious and fearless, and I love watching him. It's my favorite thing. And here's the thing, like, he's just tenacious and fearless, and I love watching him. It's my favorite thing. And I have also noticed, like, so there was a girl he was playing with, and I was like, oh, there's probably like two girls and the rest are boys, and she's running down the court and she's constantly passing it.
Oh, yeah.
Won't take a shot.
Yeah.
And so then, and I'm just like watching her, and like she's got a clear, you know, shot and she passed it. And I go up to the coach after the practice, and it was a tough conversation, but I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to say it. I said, you know, I noticed that the one of two girls in this group continues to pass and not shoot.
Yep.
And when she has an open shot, especially, and I'm just, you know, the dynamics of the team. She's one of two, and also, it's called young.
Yep.
Which might make her feel a certain way, you know. And
that's right.
I'm curious if you could have a conversation with her and encourage her to not pass the ball away when she's.
I love that. I love you said something.
I did.
How was it received?
It was, well, a couple things were happening, which was also that his mask was well below his nose.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was also backing away, you know. So he was like, oh,
he didn't notice it.
And he goes, oh, okay. I mean, yeah, okay. And I was like, yeah, just, you know, the dynamics. And I just think the context in which they're all playing and the numbers. And he was like, well, I actually coach girls basketball. So, yeah, I'm all over it.
Like, great.
Oh, okay. And then, you know, all of this is also so Gus has been playing NBA 2K with Paul, which is a basketball game on, you know, a video game. And I was playing with him the other night, and I see the cheerleaders come out.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah. And I'm like trying to fast forward, try to get out of it.
By the way, though, athletes in their own right, those fucking, you ever seen the Nets dancers? I mean, those people fucking throw down.
But
that's weird.
Yeah. And they're in tiny outfits. And he goes, is this inappropriate? I said, yeah, it is. And he goes, well, what are they doing? I said, well, they're dancing. And I said that there is an art and an athleticism to it for sure. I said it, but
true.
You know, I really was having trouble explaining like what these women were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, because there weren't any men in this cheer squad.
No.
Right. No.
And then I said, well, let's actually play the WNBA one and let's see. And of course, the WNBA has like these adorable kids doing their cheering section, you know.
Okay.
And so anyway, all of this is is I'll finish up by saying that we are tonight going to Staples Center to see the women's team, the LA Sparks, play.
Love it.
I'm really excited for him. My dad was also a big fan of women's sports and loved getting my sisters into softball and just this idea of like girls finding confidence, finding solidarity and sisterhood within the team, and having an experience of their bodies that was powerful.
Yes.
Powerful.
It's so important. That's like Bibi is doing, you know, horseback riding, which she found over here because everybody knows how to ride a horse in England, for real. It's like a real thing.
That's so cool.
And it's more affordable here, but it's a very expensive sport that's really hard to afford. And I was thinking, like, why did I fucking introduce this shit? Because it's not a New Jersey sport. You know what I mean? I was never on a horse. But in the UK, it was a way for Bibi can go be anywhere and walk into a stable and meet other girls. And there are these, and all the girls who work there, I mean, you muck stalls. You scoop. Oh, cool. I'm seeing her with a fucking pulling a hay bale. I mean, that's somebody amazing. Who's never picked up a sock off the floor, let alone scooped up hay. But when I was playing a rodeo queen on Bless This Mess, which I would agree is a look that was the sexiest I've ever been.
Your best look ever.
Yeah, best look ever. I was talking to the horse trainer who does the horses for movies and whatever. And I said, oh, my daughter's into it. And, oh, you know, I don't know. It's crazy to afford this. And she said, I will tell you this. She said, the 16-year-old women that I have who have been doing horses their whole life, the women who can are in control of a gigantic animal. She said, you think those women are taking shit from men? Like, they can keep their bodies safe. And she said, so keep your daughter riding horses. And I thought, wow, for that reason alone.
I love that.
It's a sense of power. It's a sense of control. And it's like, I own my shit. And so it is so important that we and listen, if your kid isn't like a group sports guy, my brother was, I mean, we thought he was terrible at sports. He hated basketball. He hated baseball. It turns out he was an individual sports guy.
Interesting.
He surfs every morning. He climbs rocks. He's like he's the only one out of all of us that still does a sport. But I do think it's so important. You look for the thing that turns that light on for your
kid. Totally agree. And, you know, I think I'm only putting this together now, truly. But I think one of the reasons why I had such a good experience of my, like, body and maybe continue to, although there's fraught stuff. I mean, the world it gets in. But I do think that one of the reasons just might be because I was so into sports so early.
I agree. You saw your body as like a strong vehicle.
Women's bodies are what we end up feeling and seeing is that they are there to be adorned, looked at. You know, and sexualized. And I really appreciate my father's insistence that my physical body was for play, was for sportsmanship, was for, you know, the team and for fun. And
that's really, I would not be the person I am today. I don't think I would have been comfortable rolling into the UCB and joining a team that was, you know, mostly men. If I hadn't, I mean, it's just until now you're talking about it that I'm thinking back. I wouldn't be the person I am today without my dad putting me in sports and being there and cheering me on. It's a huge gift. And I love that you're doing it because it doesn't have to be your dad. It can be your mom.
Oh, for
you know,
sure.
It can be for sure. Whoever. It can be whoever.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Well, I guess there was a lot to say on the topic, Jess.
I'm shocked. I cried during a conversation about sports. I was surprised. I just felt your dad with us today.
I did too. And the other piece of it is also cheering really hard for people that are better at this than you and people that are worse, you know?
Yeah.
And
yep.
Encouraging your teammates.
That's why I always cry at the New York Marathon, any marathon.
Yeah.
The sight of strangers cheering for strangers just makes me.
I ran a marathon and that was, I cried throughout it because
throughout it.
I really did because I could not believe the way it felt to run and have complete strangers clapping for me. It was, and then also
yeah.
when it got really hard at like mile like 14.
And you wanted to give up, and people saying, don't give up.
Just keep
you
going.
You got this.
Keep going. Walk
you
if you
got
have
this?
To. Yeah.
Giving you water? Strangers. Giving you water and holding up signs and say, you got this? Like, we need more of that. More of that in the world. Oh, also, if anybody wants to, like, make their day, the UCLA women's gymnastics team, so 3 days before lockdown, I was in that stadium watching
wow.
Caitlin Okashi and all those girls. Randomly got an invite. Now, I'm sure COVID started there. It probably was a breeding
sure.
ground then, you know, and I look back on that as a misstep. But holy moly, the way those girls celebrate each other, they learn each other's
God.
Routines.
Yeah.
So just the other woman, I can't forget. I know Caitlin Okashi because she's my favorite and she has a routine to Tina Turner's, you know, Rolling Like a River. And then there's Beyonce. And anyway, it's wild. And it just makes you want to just cheer for humanity, but also to be a woman, you know, because
totally.
They cheer like. For each other, you know?
I love that, Jess. I love that. Like the last time before lockdown. Well, listen, deep divers, you know, especially those with girls, like I hope you consider getting your kids into your girls into sports. And I think individual sports are wonderful. I'm particularly like enamored with team sports and but I think there's so much value in it all. And yeah, and I'm excited to report back on my first experience at a WNBA game and
ooh,
to
I can't
see what
wait.
That's like. And
could you snap a pic of some of their outfits? Because to be honest, I haven't checked in recently.
Yeah, for
I wonder
sure.
If they
I don't
have...
think you're going to be happy.
Okay. It's just, you know what? I don't look good in shorts. That's just the problem there is I don't look good in shorts. It doesn't matter if they're short, they're long. It's always not great for me. So that's my own hang-up.
I would love to see you in a high-waisted. Remember I talked about like my summer look was going to be those high-waisted black. And that's,
oh, I loved those. Those acid wash.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I'd like to see that on you.
You're not going to like it. But okay. Listen, what are you going to do? You know?
Just
doing my best. Listen, before you go,
yes.
I do want to say we've had so many people reaching out. First of all, I just want to give a shout out to the deep divers because
oh God, are they the
they're
best.
Sharing with me so many like nuggets of information. Like somebody sent me a link to, oh, here's my favorite summer place to go to in England. Please check this out. They're sending me links to books on raising girls. I mean, it's just like I'm just so in love with this community.
I am too.
I love them.
Someone sent some really – and people actually sent me some inspiring screen grabs of their inboxes at zero.
Oh, I wanted to report. I just wanted to report. I have been deleting emails like nobody's business, like nobody's business. I've gotten on mail. Now, June, a lot of people are saying I can do all the things that you can do on Apple Mail that you can do on Jit. That's fine. And I'm going to be digging deep into where. But I've been using for right now the mail, Apple Mail, and I've been deleting. And it's just felt so good. I haven't been missing anything. Now, I have to go back into the. One question, though, how can I stop all? I've obviously subscribed to every single brand so I could get 20% off. How do I stop all of that junk mail from coming? Do I have to unsubscribe all of these things on my own?
Okay, so I'm going to we need a whole other conversation about something called SaneBox.
Okay.
Okay, and that's a filtering system that's going to put your emails that are like promotional, et cetera, things that are not.
I just want to send them away. Yeah,
that you put them in this thing called Sane. You sort of train your email box. Then they go into this something called Sane Later.
It's an app?
It's a subscription where I don't know if it's an app or a plugin or a cookie or whatever. A cachet. I don't know whatever. What it is. Okay.
But it's something.
Or a cashew. But it's something and it will train them to put it in a box that's like Sane Later. And then it'll train others to put it in a box called Sane Black Hole.
Whoa. I'm going to check that out. And then the other news I'd like to report is that I started the Pinterest board.
Still saying Pinterest.
That, and a lot of people are saying that's okay. And Dan even says it that way. So, okay. So bring your house against mine.
Okay.
But so when I say start it, I tried to do it on my own, but I couldn't figure it out. And then I tried to do it with Dan's email as the email. And then he said, why the fuck am I on Pinterest? I don't want to be on Pinterest. And I'm like, I was just trying to use your email. And then Cody said, fuck it, I'll just do it for you. But she set it up. Now, I haven't posted anything yet, but now I have access. So we are on our way. Wow. And I'm loving the accountability. And
I'm just loving the updates on like even getting to the Pinterest board. It's like right now, this episode, we have access, whatever that means. So if you're thinking
access.
Deep divers, you can head over there right now. No. That's episodes
there
away.
There ain't nothing there. There's now. Nothing. There ain't nothing there right now. But I'm going to figure it out.
It sounds like we have an email address that's connected somehow, and that is enough for today.
It's like when you get when they get the rover, the news that the rover has landed on Mars. It hasn't done anything yet, but it's like we're here. Like that's the big thing is just getting it there.
Right.
So that's up and running. And
this is a great marketing drip. It's like it's not all happening at one time. Like we're going to be teasing.
Exactly. You don't want to blow your load.
We're going to be teasing this out for quite some time now.
Quite some time.
Deep divers. Sorry, did you want to say anything else, Jess, about Pinterest?
No, I was just going to say that. So thank you to all of the deep divers who are writing in. And I just wanted to ask if you guys love the podcast, which I know you do. Please share it with a friend. That is honestly how we are getting the word out. We are one of those slow burns, and that really means something. So tag your friend, tell them about it, tell them to tell someone about it. We're just so thankful, but that is one of the great, you can follow, make sure you're subscribed or followed or whatever, so you don't miss a thing.
Yes, we've been so moved by all of you writing us and telling us we are helping in some small way or a source of comfort during difficult times. And please share your experience on social media if you can, and help spread the word. It would be so incredible, and it helps us and the show so very much.
I want to say one more thing. I would love it if everyone would post a little picture of themselves in their sports, like when they were in elementary school or high school.
Oh my God, Jess. And
could
I
we
will
just
too.
See a pic?
I will too.
I would
I've
love
got a
that.
Great picture somewhere. I yes. will too.
Well, I know my father has a weird collage book that he tried to bring down and show Bebe. And Bebe was like, what is this? What is this?
Wow.
There was a picture of me and my dead best friend, Kelly. We were doubles partners, and it said the dynamic duo. And I looked like I was having a seizure, and Kelly's eyes were closed at the net. And that was the picture they chose.
I cannot wait to see that picture. Please, yes, deep divers, we will repost a bunch of them. Please send us pics of you playing sports as a child. Would love to see it. Cody, cannot wait to see yours. I'm definitely reposting that. So a couple of updates about Jane Club. We have so much going on. If you were at our Work Sprints trial 2 weeks, please know that you can join as a Sprinter Jane, and you will get access to our daily Work Sprints. They're 2 solid hours a day, pure focus.
They're
flow,
so worth it.
Accountability.
Casey wrote her book.
During Work Sprints, and that is
during
not a lie. So that's
right.
A new membership a level for $25 a month. Head to janeclub.com to check that out. I also have a really exciting announcement. We are doing a one-day creative writing retreat called A Sunday of One's Own. And that is on Sunday, September 19th. at 10 a.m. Pacific time. It is all virtual. Tickets are $40 and they are selling out quite quickly. Head to janeclub.com and click on events to purchase your ticket today. Also, we are having an event, an evening with the trailblazing women of podcasting. Jessica St. Clair and I will be there. It's Friday, October 8th at 5 o'clock Pacific time. Tickets start at $25 a ticket. It's me, Jessica St. Clair, Casey Wilson, Daniel Schneider, Kulap Balaisak, Phoebe Robinson. So many more are about to be announced. Please join us. Head to janeclub.com and go to events to purchase your ticket.
You know June's going to have glam for that.
Oh, of course. I'll be looking great. And then also, Janes, we are launching a meditation membership. We're doing this a la carte membership for Sprinter Janes and for Meditation Janes, where if you just want access to our daily meditation, then you can head to janeclub.com and purchase that. It is $25 a month, and our meditations are absolutely amazing.
Oh, Shanta's voice, the moment she starts to speak, you feel like you're falling into a deep slumber. It's in a good way, like a soul slumber.
Really life-changing and quite wonderful. Yeah. So I encourage you to head there to janeclub.com and check out our meditation membership, which is just launching right now. And deep divers, we will see you next week. Have a great week.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.